Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Tommy, Hector and Dorita podcast. An interesting episode today in that I'm the only one who has turned up. Yep, that's right, just me on my own in the hen house and you. So if there's anything that you'd like to ask me, just send me a message telepathically, much in the same way that Dorita and Hector will be contributing telepathically to this week's episode. It's kind of a dank old day here now. One of them days that if you're moving slowly through the air, you wouldn't enjoy it. But if you've been chased by the guards or, you know, pursuing a lively young one across a shopping centre, or playing football or trying to find a cat, it's nice. There's great vitality in the air today. I was trying not to... I don't want the day to be entirely shaped by what's on the television. I don't know if you're like that. I don't know if you ever get that thing of, I'm off the news at the minute. So my world is being recalibrated to the local. So it's only what people tell me face to face that I know what's going on. And they tell me very little, to be honest. But sometimes fellas especially have a habit of checking what matches are on that day. And then those hours get colonised by that broadcast. And they're so, you know, do you really give a fuck about 22 multimillionaires running around a field in England chasing a pig's blather? Do you know, much more going on. This is probably why I stopped doing the solo podcast. Do you know? Wouldn't have a fierce amount to say to myself. Now, in fairness to the other two, we were out on the batter last night, or a half a batter. And one of the things that really struck me about it was Larissa can play her cards close to her magnificent chest when she's down here. Has that Mayo thing of tell them nothing. Tell them fucking nothing. It's amazing we know her surname, like. But with drink on board, Jesus, you couldn't. You'd swear she was addressing the United Nations of crack. Story after story. And then I did this and then I did that. And wait till I tell you. And I was kind of half thinking now, if you paid as much attention to your podcast as you did to your drinking, we'd be flying. Well, oh, I don't believe it. Well, you decided to show up.
You're like the boring priest and Father Ted talking to yourself.
Sit down there now.
Oh, Hector was late picking me up. I was late having breakfast. Then we had to stop for treats.
And did you bring any of the treats down with you?
No. I left them in the kitchen. I got a sausage rolls. Oh, that was Hector's request.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You smell good.
Oh, yeah, do I? Great. I'll smell like cigars when I come out of here.
I haven't smoked a cigar here now.
Doesn't matter, I'll still smell like it.
Really? I haven't smoked a cigar in weeks. I'm on the, oh, right, he decided to join us.
What about this teacher
what time
here?
You come on Monday morning? 8 o'clock in the morning. Thanks, horses. Christy. Bye, Christy.
Horses.
What did you...
Phone is on airplane mode. Is on airplane mode and the car was on let's not be on time mode.
What were you doing down here?
I've done 45 minutes already. All you have to do now is say goodbye.
Go on. Who were you talking to?
That's the podcast done.
Who were you talking to?
What do you mean? I was talking to the audience.
Yeah, but
because they turn up on time every week. Oh, but you fuckers traipsing down.
What did you say to them?
I'm done your own business. You'll hear it now when it's broadcast. None of your fucking business.
My boiler is on the blink. I rang Christy, the boiler man from Athenry, is coming. I said, what time Monday morning? He said, I'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning sharp.
You need to get the boiler checked.
The Firebird boiler.
That's dangerous with the boiler.
Christy,
goes wrong.
Give us the postcode. That's what lads say. Give me the postcode.
I couldn't sleep this morning. And while I was awake, I was reading an article about this.
You were getting... Yeah, I know what you were doing this morning in the hotel. You've no need to tell me and Hector. All right.
Absolutely. I'd say...
That's why
you were late now.
Yeah, you were up early this morning.
You were up early, Loretta.
Couldn't open the window.
That's it.
Stuffy hotel room.
There's this thing,
crispy
right?
Sheets.
Have you heard about chat AI, artificial, not insemination, which I used to think AI stood for, artificial intelligence? There's this, like, loads of websites now where you can put in whatever you want to talk about and it'll come back to you, right? So I decided I'd have a little chat with somebody called Eliza this morning.
Now, hang on, is it difficult to register to it?
Well, I don't know what I've registered on because it'll become apparent in a minute. So I went, it was like, hi, how can I help you today? And I said, can you give me some topics for my podcast, right?
Did you tell them who you were?
No. And wait till you hear what she says. Sure, let's see. How did it feel when you lost your virginity? Right, that was the first question, right? I said, anything else, right? And she comes back and she says, anything else? I said, oh, here she goes. Do you have any questions about sex or sexuality? And I said, no, I'm just looking for topics. And she said, well, let's start with some fun basics. And I said, okay. The first time someone touches another person sexually, it feels good. This is called sexual arousal. It makes us want more of the same thing. So if we're touching each other and it feels good, we'll keep doing it until something stops us from continuing.
What's this one's name?
Eliza.
I should have done the fucking podcast with her this morning.
So you can put in anything into it. As you can ask Eliza anything.
And is it an app? The first time you said that this morning?
What? Yes, it is.
Is it an app?
You can put anything you like into it.
I didn't ask her that. So it's called Chat.
Is there a chatbot?
Chatbot. She's a chatbot.
Yeah.
So you can ask her anything you want.
Can I ask you a question about the virginity thing?
Yes.
I think that...
Can you remember?
Yeah, I can remember, yeah. But I think that losing your virginity for... Men don't really ever lose their virginity.
Why? Because they're always...
Because it doesn't really matter. I mean, I can remember the first time that the lightning flashed from my... groin. Do you remember that, Hector?
When the power of the Cú Chulainn fertility.
That's it. When the rush of life.
Of molten lava from within the Celtic bowel.
You're coming at your hole, are you?
Stop.
Triggered the reaction beneath.
Yeah, so that's, I can remember when that happened for the first time. But it happening in different places doesn't really...
How do you mean happening in different places?
So maybe the first time it happens, you're on your own, or maybe the second time it happens, you're with somebody, or it happens maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think the losing the virginity thing. It seems to me like it might be more of an event, and I don't mean. I think I know what I mean by that.
You've been talking to yourself for hours.
The lady.
I just wanted to reassure the listeners that I will be continuing the podcast on my own after these two have left, because we've a few things to pick up.
to follow up on a few things.
That it might be more of a thing for the ladies. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like...
It's a bigger moment.
Well, no, that it's
more... It's a more defining moment.
It's more of a It's more... Like a fella might, you know... I hate using these words so early in the morning.
He's been there before on his own time.
Yeah, and in different places and in different scenarios. See,
it's a different but physical might, act.
But with different women on videos and on magazines.
No, no, no. I'm just talking about the physical whereabouts of it. Of where you of ejaculating, where those ejaculates take place.
As in locations?
Yeah, as in, yeah.
Ejaculation so, locations.
Like in ejaculation.
So in someone's hand or someone's mouth.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I get it. I thought know, you meant or in, your a, own in a bathroom trousers, or in a or kitchen.
In
the, or
in your pennies, boxer shorts.
Yeah, or something. That's the thing. But the first time that a sexual organ has been placed inside you
yes.
is more of an event.
Absolutely.
Or maybe the first ejaculate... And maybe you know the first lady's orgasm. Do you know what I'm saying, Larita?
Larita, will you come in on this?
Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm letting you flesh this out by yourself.
It's a bigger event. It's a bigger moment. There's a bigger physical thing for a lady.
I get that to a certain point.
So
then is there like pressure for a lad to kind of perform then when he's the first time and he's not sure then if he's going to get an erection or if he, what he was doing prior to that was right.
That doesn't happen until you're 40, Sarita.
Oh, so they
yeah, but you're not sure if you can get an erection.
It just pops up.
You're a walking horn from 12 to 39.
But like, yeah, maybe.
Do you ever hear of a thing called the bus bugle?
No.
Just random.
You ever heard of the bus bugle?
No.
So the bus bugle is the swelling that would occur, the tumescence that would be caused by sitting on a bus, say from Tuam to Dublin.
With a bad chassis.
And
does it give you an erection?
Yeah. 14. Aww. If you were a 16, 17 year old, you'd just be on a horn.
It's just a gentle hum between kind of.
What would you do then?
But they're just.
So what we do, first of all, someone would have a look up and say, it's all right, boys, all clear. And that would mean there's no women on the bus. So then all the lads...
And boys are happy enough to be at that.
So lads are just... Everyone would just start pulling each other off on the bus.
Each other off or
yes,
themselves?
Yes, CIE.
I don't know.
Come in
the aiming. Bus bugle. the random bugle.
The bus bugle.
The random horn was a magnificent thing.
Yeah.
It could strike at any moment of the day.
I love the way you're reminiscing about it now. It's as if it's a distant
Those
memory.
Those were the days, my friend. So tell me about when, in terms of, say... A woman's self-christening. What I mean by that is...
I didn't even get a bloody cup of coffee to before I addressed
this. Because you were 25 minutes late. So a woman's...
15, 10, 12.
In terms of a woman... Do you know those automatic sprinklers that come on in gardens during the summer in America? Yeah. So if fellas get bus bugles, where would a woman start to rain on her insides?
Maybe sitting on top of a washing machine or something.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But not bus journeys, generally
speaking.
Not
car journeys.
No, I mean, Jesus, unless you're in a tractor maybe for a long period of time or something. Oh. But I'm pretty sure a bus wouldn't be that vibrant.
Anyway.
Or sometimes
Brad Pitt. How do we get onto that?
No.
Virginity.
Yes.
So tell us about...
Chat AI.
So tell us about...
Chatbot.
Do you... I'm putting forward the suggestion that maybe... losing the virginity thing for men, it's more when they first came that is
that was Tommy. The time that was the breaking event.
What's your Tommy?
That was the seal break.
So we didn't even know when it first happened because we had
did you know
clue.
What you were at?
Nobody has a clue when you're 12 or 13
she
years
must
of age.
Be, they're watching just, porn now.
No, but it's maybe it's more the more advanced now. I hadn't a clue. There's stuff I'd wake up every morning try and hide me jocks behind the radiator.
And did you get like a diagram or something from school or how
wet dreams do we don't talk about wet dreams anymore.
A diagram. How do you mean?
Diagram on how to do it.
No, we got a basic stuff.
How did you know how to approach yourselves?
You just...
How did you know?
And how did you know you were doing it the right way?
Yeah, there's no. It's very easy for a man. You just...
Well, it's just... I suppose you're just it's the end result. So you kind of... You
see, the works or doesn't.
From the age of 10, 11, 12, there's an automatic bugle every morning. For every morning, every day of your life. Stand to attention!
Two, three, four.
So like
every morning as a young lad, you wake up on a massive
imposition?
Spike.
What
is it? An imposition?
Well, it is at about 20 to 8 in the morning when your mother is calling you, and you're there going, "What in the name of God happened there last night?" Wet dreams happen. Boys have constant ejaculations as teenagers.
Constant.
constant ejaculations, like involuntary ejaculations.
Yes, you'll be there at 12 years of age, and you wake up.
That's something else. That's an ailment.
Well, no, it's not. It happens naturally because you're having these vivid reality dreams.
It'd be a great heading in a HSC booklet.
Constant
involuntary ejaculations.
No, and it's a beautiful. It is a beautiful term.
A beautiful.
A wet dream. A wet dream. Fuck's sake, it's magnificent.
How are you this morning after the porter last night?
Not bad.
Good, yeah. Home by about 12:30.
No, we didn't tear the arse out of it now.
Okay.
We had four or five. It's good stout. We had back at the scene of the crime.
We came back to a funeral.
I know. And
a crime scene?
No, not a crime scene.
Oh, no, because it already
did you
happened.
Have to seal off the tank?
There was no suspects.
Okay.
So the second of our young fella's fish died. And he was very upset.
And is he still Devo?
I don't know. Devo?
Devastated.
Okay. Mayo slang.
I spoke to him briefly on the way
and
in.
And how is he?
He's fine. He sort of said, well, the first guy probably died of natural causes, but can't get to the bottom of this. I said, look, they're very fragile. I said, you're going to become a better fish farmer as you go on.
You should do an autopsy on the fish.
Did you? So you buried the fish last night when you came home?
Yes.
Get your razors blades out and cut the fish and have a look inside it.
For what?
Dissect it right across.
I couldn't tell you what a healthy one would look like, never mind a sick one.
The ceremony took place last night.
Yes.
And the fish was buried side by side with the other fish.
Yes.
And did you put a little headstone?
No, it wasn't time to get one made up between arriving home and the burial.
Did he put any significant...
Yes, we put a rock.
Okay.
To stop the cat or the dog.
And what was the fish's name?
Bubblehead.
Okay.
But that's the type of fish it was.
I
think it was called Bubbles.
It was quite traumatic because we were in the garden.
Well, I bought him some treats anyway, so he's. I said.
It was a traumatic evening because you were just starting to enjoy your tremendous glass of yellow spot.
Expensive glasses of whiskey in that bar. I was taken aback. They have in Garavan's in Galway.
Yes.
They have an amazing selection of whiskies, and then you have the whiskey menu. And you have your, you know, €5 and your 10 and, you know, but then there's a fierce amount of them between 10 and 20. And then there's a good few between 30 and 50. And there are late 70s, early 80s. Mm. And there's 125 and 220 and 330 for a glass of whiskey. And then we started kind of just yapping about that. And we got reminiscent about a time we were in a bar when a fella ordered a glass of whiskey during the Galway races.
Yes.
That cost €2,000.
Yes.
For a fucking glass of whiskey.
The Middleton Pearl.
Sure, the Middleton Rares must be about €75.
So a lad walked into Garvin's bar about 8 years.
Was that where it was? Is that where he bought it at the races?
No, that was in the front door. But a lad, I know the lad who owns Garvin's, and he told me a great story once. Paul said to me one day, he said, I was away and a lad walked into the bar at 11 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the summer about 9 years ago. Well built, American accent. Sat straight up at the counter and ordered a pint of stout. 11 o'clock in the morning, 11:15, he ordered another pint of stout. Took off the sort of combat-y jacket he had, a big, well-built man. Started talking. He said, I'm here to drink some whiskies. What have you got? And the barman was there Saturday morning cleaning up and getting everybody ready. He goes, well, there's the menu. He goes, well, I'd recommend you start off with this starter thing. There's three little whiskies here, three Middletons. He says, I've loved my whiskies. Started drinking the small whiskies. €35, Tommy said, 40.
For the platter.
For the platter. And then he goes, this is now about 12:30 and he's getting the lunar on him. And they start talking and he said, he's in the military. And he said, yeah, we're over for holidays. It was my dream coming to Ireland. And then he said, so what are the whiskies have you got? It's my dream to come to Ireland. And your man says, well, we've all ranges. He says, what's the most expensive whiskies you have? And your man said, well, I have a Middleton 64 and we have the Pearl. We have different ones. Another. This is about 2:15 now. And he says, I'll have the most expensive whiskey you have, which is about €450 a shot or more. And the barman then said, fuck this. So he rang Paul Garvin, who was at home with the kids. And he goes, I've got a yank in here. And he wants to drink the Middleton Pearl. which has only got a certain amount of shots in the bottle. It wasn't a pearl, it was a 64 or 62 Middleton. And he goes, okay, what's he look with? Has he got money? Has he paid yet? And he goes, no, but he's been here since 11 o'clock. He's an American guy, he's in the military and he likes his whiskey. Well, Paul said, give it to him. Because you pour a 450 euro shot. You know what I mean? That's dosh. So he
and you also, if you're pouring a 450 euro shot, you better not be fucking tight with the measure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you better let an extra couple of splashes go into
easily.
It.
So anyway.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Your man pours the 450. Now, pouring a $450 shot or euro shot, you know, the hand might be shaking a little, but anyway, he gives him whatever it was. And your man goes...
It should be like it was in the West.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember you go to the West?
Well, yeah, you got the bottle.
And two boys go in, whiskey. And the who were behind the bar, she just pours it. She just pours it in.
Slaps it in. Yeah, yeah.
What tight-arsed Fine Gael fucker came up with these measurements?
optics. I hate optics.
Yeah, there's a little there. This is for a single. And that's
optics. So your man goes anyway, and just before he drank the most expensive.
Can you imagine coming in from the, you've been traipsing across the Nevada desert and the fucking Appalachian rain forests, and you come into a fucking bar and the local Fine Gael councillor's behind it.
Yeah.
And you say whiskey, and he says, well, now okay, and he gets out the little fucking
optics
measure. There you go.
You'd shoot him
in the face.
So that's why Irish people, when they go abroad to Malaga and Santa Pons and everywhere, the Spanish don't give a shite about optics.
The free course,
like, yeah. Give us a Bacardi there. Look back, do you see the size of the shots?
They do it in America too, in fairness. Yeah, they fire it in.
So anyway, he says, I'll take the most expensive whiskey you have, Middleton 62, and he sits there. Now the young lad behind the bar on a Saturday, it's already 3 or 4 hours in, his bill has probably run to 700 or 800 euro at this stage.
Oh shit, more I'd say.
And then he's talking about the military, and then just before he drinks the fucking shot, doesn't he just say, I spent 5 years in Afghanistan, I finished last year, I've been on the tour, I've been in military operations, and this was my dream, to come to Ireland to buy the most expensive whiskey I could ever buy, and I've been looking forward to this for 5 years after being in the American military. And he just fucking took it and he drank it and he paid the bill and he walked out the door. What a fucking great fucking end.
Oh fuck, I thought you were going to say he walked out and he never paid for it. No, he didn't drink it at all.
But for 5 years on tours in Afghanistan, all he wanted to do was get to Ireland to drink the most expensive whiskey he came. And then your man paid the bill and out he walked through that door in Garvin's bar. Tremendous.
I mean, after spending all those years, you know, killing innocent farmers, it is a nice thing to look forward to.
It's just
in Kandahar and Kabul. And apart from that, it's all those dusty, you're in a dusty environment down
that'd
your throat.
Clear
the throat,
it all.
The throat get very dry over there.
Yeah, very
and
dry.
You'd be worn out shooting goats and people
and popping his head up out of an armoured tank and going back into that. It's a dry area in an armoured tank. It's not easy. He needs to clear that area. But anyway, that was Garvin's. But your man was panicking behind the bar that he was going to fucking not.
Now, do you still have an interest in whiskey as an investment?
Yes, yes, I do.
So, what's your dream?
Shouldn't they sell bottles? They're selling bottles. There are whiskey auctions happening all over the world. Sotheby's, there's whiskey clubs. People buying casks. Roscoe bought a Dingle cask there about 4 or 5 years ago, and he's
what's a Dingle cask?
A Dingle first batch cask.
Bread, Spicers, first batch.
I've a couple of nice. I don't open my whiskey like you, Tommy. You well,
drink it. Hey, fucking drink it.
No, as Mark Twain said, water's for fighting over, whiskey's for drinking.
Oh yeah.
Do you like that? So,
the difference between me and you is like, you're the type of fella who would you'd pay for a supermodel escort to come over to the house and you just look at her. Whereas
I'm not sure how to take that answer.
I'd order
you'd
an ordinary who are in Ryder.
You'd be in the utility. You'd be in the utility.
Do you know what I mean? It's not the difference between the
two. For me, I don't want
to. Spoken for sure. You'd have written
Tommy
before she came in.
Not at all.
Here, I'll tell you about a
hey,
cask.
Look at the two cars that are out there. Do you see the two cars? I pulled mine in. It's a monster.
Did you get
a
new car?
There's dirt on it and there's shite on it, and I haven't washed my car in months. Yours is an immaculate. It's
do you have a person
clean
that comes to take your car washes?
And did you change your car?
I cleaned it. That's how dirty it was. Yeah, yeah. I had to clean it.
Wow,
I've never seen the chrome.
Did you clean
it
yourself or did someone else do it for you?
I cleaned it myself.
Oh, yeah, someone else. Someone comes and picks it up.
A man came to clean
it.
Do have a fondness, and I have a fondness for the last 10 years or more, of collecting
for money.
Diesel.
Decent,
green diesel.
Decent quality bottles of whiskey. And I have a 62 and a 69.
Will you hear
no,
what happens?
No, Tommy, I'm not going to open them. I have other ones I've opened.
Will you hear what happened? This, it might change your mind and open them. So my father got it for his 80th birthday, got a little wooden cask of whiskey. Like, it's about that size, engraved with his name. And this brewery, or what do they call it? Is it brewery?
Distiller.
Distillers had opened. And they had sold it to my sister-in-law or something. I think it was like $3,000 or something for this little barrel. And they said, oh, look, it's going to have to distill in this little barrel, so you're not allowed to drink it for like 3 years. So my father, like, giving my father a barrel of whiskey and telling him not to open it for 3 years.
He's like, a man, he has a splash in the morning.
A splash in the morning and a splash in the and a splash at any time of the day if he can get it.
Yeah.
So they said, you know, you can't open it now, Dad, for three years. And he thought, fuck's sake. So he,
no crack.
Like, after about a year, he was like, she says, I'm 80, like, I mightn't make it to my 83rd birthday.
I'll have a dribble.
So I had it like a measure, just put the tap on, put a small bit in out, had it, forgot about it. Another few weeks later,
lost the power,
did
of
the
his
same
legs.
Again. Did the same thing again. Just another shot. Was cute enough with it, like, wanted to know how much was in the barrel, right? Fuck me. He left the tap on, right?
Oh, no.
No, he left the tap on with the glass underneath it eventually just to see how much was in it. It didn't fill a glass. It was a full con.
The angels.
$3,000.
The angels are taking the shares. Condensation.
It was obviously just a it was obviously a swizz, like.
Oh, stop.
So to hold it, it felt like there was liquid in it.
It was a heavy little barrel anyway.
Was he gifted this or did he buy it?
No, somebody bought it for him for his birthday. And I think it cost like $3,000. But as someone in hindsight has told me, it doesn't distill in those little barrels. It's already distilled. They're just little sales pitches. Yeah, yeah. They're just a marketing thing. They're not, you know, the whiskey's already all ready to drink when you go into those little barrels. And
what did my head?
Imagine, not even a full glass in it, like.
Look at.
Talk about being swizzled.
There was a time when Ireland went mad at this fucking wine. The boom. Remember the boom? Fucking Celtic Tiger. The fucking boom. The Chateau Neuf de Pape. It drove me mental when people showed off about their knowledge of wine. We are not wine people. We will never be wine people.
Hector.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Sorry, Loretta. Sorry.
Go on, Hector. No, keep going. You're a great help.
I forgot that we're in.
Why were you going to say?
In the company of a sommelier.
Of a grand sommelier.
Oh, I'd love to be. That's of course.
Chateau Neuf de Pape. We were far from that. We were reared.
That's the only posh stuff you can buy in the supermarket.
But like, we got mad with wine.
I want to be a sommelier. Sommelier. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to be one.
It doesn't do anything for me, good wine.
I'm getting hints of earth from this. But should people be at that with the whiskey as well? Oh, I'm getting a lovely taste of life from this.
I'd love to be like that with oral pleasure.
Yeah. There's a little bit of...
I'm getting rosy. Is this... This is a kind of a chestnut.
Is this asparagus I'm getting from this?
A little bit of lemon balm coming off that.
Vanilla. I'm loving this.
Oh, there's a bit of a kick in that one now.
Someone was on the old sriracha sauce last night.
Someday I'll open them, Tommy. But I have a few open at the house, but I have a few lovely ones that'll just sit there and fucking sit there. And
do you be at that when you're tasting, I'm loving the smoothness of this. I don't get that whiskey, but I do understand.
I understand the yellow spot.
Wine.
Certain things I understand about the whiskies. There's some great whiskies for drinking, like the yellow spot and the green spot. But the other ones, they're there for there. Just keep them.
Sure, what's wrong with the usual stuff that we were reared on?
Hang on a minute, what do you mean never open them?
Never fucking open them, Tommy. Because they're a secret for the gods. And only the gods' hands will have the power.
And who will drink them?
If a lovely, you have to ride people, Hector.
Huh?
You have to ride people.
To know what they're like.
Yeah. You have to ride them.
Your imagination is one thing.
You can't just walk around them saying they're lovely.
Yeah.
At some stage.
No, Tommy.
She's got a lovely toast.
So say I have a bottle of 62 Middleton in my hand. I have a 69 as well.
I bet you do.
The year I was born. And I look at it and I hold it and it's there. And
but take a drink of it.
No.
Why?
No, don't ever touch it.
You sound like a horse.
Leave it there and let it settle.
For what long? At 69?
It is not my right to open.
And who's the right will it be?
Nobody has the divine right to
open. So what's the point putting it into a bottle?
Eventually, me young lads will all drink it for the 21st.
Ah, well, that's beautiful.
That's something. A different story.
Or maybe the grandchildren.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what you're thinking. I think you're thinking, okay, no, that's worth the vote.
Right,
let me check the market.
I'd be there like
that's
this.
That's gone up for another.
€750 in 2006, and now one sold last night for 1.2 million. Nah, listen.
Yes.
No.
Do you have
I'll leave you with this.
Oh, where are you going?
Do you have it in bond, do you? Or if it's...
Hang on, you want to show your house. How are you doing? Have you anything extra in the house? Yeah, 6 laptops, 7 diamond rings. No, it was there. And I have a whiskey collection. The lad, there's a bar in Dublin.
I'm lost.
There's a bar in Dublin. Do you know when you're doing your insurance on the house for contents?
No.
There's a bar in Dublin called, what's that little bar on Westmoreland Street? And you just turn down.
The whiskey place?
Yeah, it's an old style bar. It's on the way down to Temple Bar, just on the right hand side. You leave Westmoreland Street and as you walk down by the, to the,
The jiggery pig. The retarded fox.
No. Small little old man's pub, and it's there in the corner just as you turn down the side alley.
Pier Street Garda Station.
Anyway, your man there, didn't he collect for years? Didn't he buy
it? It was better fun when he was picking the names.
1992, Middleton, 93, Middleton, which is just €50 back at the time. 94, 95, 96, 97. They were all £50 at the time, up to €100. And his complete collection up to 2016. He had the Middleton Very Rare every year.
He sounds like he might be on the spectrum.
and
did he just have odd years?
And
he
went to sell it. And I think he was offered £250,000 for the full collection. And all it cost him was 50 quid a year or 100 quid a year. So I'm just saying to you, instead of buying...
Mad for cash.
All investments.
Tremendous bottles to look at, Tommy, not to slug.
You need to drink that.
Yeah, I got a couple of presents of very, very nice whiskey recently.
But you don't drink whiskey anymore?
No, this is when I was drinking it.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a lovely bottle of Middleton something or other for Christmas, and then somebody bought me a lovely bottle of Teeling something or other.
Teeling's 26.
Something.
That's the one you wanted Hector to buy last night. He wouldn't buy it because it was €80.
I drank it. We were trying to put a Swiss
on you last night. Yeah, good. You're supposed to drink it.
Drink the fucking
thing. Sure, what if you're dead next year and you won't get to drink it?
That's it, yeah.
All right, I'm off. What time is it now?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sorry, come up with a topic here, Tommy. Yeah.
Well, he's them all used up when he was talking to himself.
No, I have something here. Do you know something? Yes.
Can you not write your handwriting?
Yes. No, but I write things that... I write things down.
Say it.
Will you stop fucking interrupting me?
Why? You're so annoying. Were you happier when we weren't here?
Well, at least there's a bit more fucking coherence to the conversation.
There's only a mid tablet.
I feel like
paracetamol, 5 Guinness last night. Come on.
Do you know what you are? You're a stutter. That's what you are. You're a stutter.
Anyway, I'm not going to speak for the rest of the podcast.
Highly unlikely.
Go on. Sorry.
So I wrote something down. So
do you want me to read it? My glasses.
I'm going to fucking hit my head off a wall.
What did you
here.
Write there?
Can you let me build it up to you?
Yeah, don't speak, Hector, like me.
So I wrote something down, and it was obviously the punchline to a joke. But when I don't write the joke and I come back months later and I just see the punchline, I have no idea what the fucking joke was.
Okay.
Okay. So what I've written down here is anti, A-U-N-T-Y, anti climax.
She must be related to Uncle Orgasm, is she?
Did you write that down last night?
Anti-climax, oh, years ago.
That happens to me when I'm telling a joke. I normally forget the punchline.
Yeah, but just keep going.
You have the punchline and you don't have the joke.
When I don't like sleeping in the same room as the computer and or the phone or any of that type of shite, you know, because the habit awful easy in the morning is just to go straight on that, isn't
on
it?
On the screen, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I did this morning and I found myself looking up motorbikes. Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
I haven't had a motorbike now for about a year and a half, 2 years. And I found myself looking at the Harleys again.
Mm. What site did you go on to?
HarleyDavidson.com or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
Have you not got your moped?
I have a little moped, yeah, but I started daydreaming then about, there's a lovely sound off the Harleys. Mm. And you have to straddle them.
It's the sound
and
of that
a lovely
engine.
Sound the and purr. It's a lovely feeling pulling off. On a drive, and the Harleys are so comfortable that a long drive, no bother to you.
Are you interested in going back to them days?
Did you like it when you had them and you were coming home from gigs?
Yeah, and on a fine day, driving the old Dublin road, best feeling ever.
And where's all the leather ever. Gear? Where are your chaps? Where's the helmet?
All of it's still in the house.
Oh, Lord.
I have all the gear still.
It's all thrown in the bottom of the wardrobe.
But it's the expense of it. It's kind of, you know, there are...
But you'll be dead long enough. I wouldn't worry about the expense.
Really?
What do you pay for a nice Harley?
Well, you'd pay the guts of...
25?
I know, you'd be... It depends. So there are fellas who can fix bikes and, you know, who they're mechanically minded and they love all that. And they could probably take a motorbike and take it apart and put it together again. And they would spend, for them, for that, for a person who's gifted like that, you probably wouldn't spend more than 10 grand on a bike because you'd know that you could fix anything up. You could buy a bike for 3 or 4 grand and fix it up so she's okay. Running like new, and you'd know what parts to order. So those type of fellas wouldn't see the point in... They'd see themselves as real bikers, where the fellas like me, who only ride, would be seen as not as complete as they are. So then you have the fellas... who they would trade in expensive bikes, but they'd all be second hand. So you fellas who'd trade in Goldwings, they'd trade in Harleys, you know.
Yeah, they'd
know them and they'd, you know. And then you have the people who, fools like me, who just buy one new, wouldn't know what to fucking do if Etten broke down on it, have to phone somebody to come and pick you up, you know, just about can manage to take off the petrol cap.
That's something.
And, you know, so we're the eejits. So we're generally the people who buy the new ones because, you know.
Yeah.
So how much is a brand new one?
So it depends on the type of one you want, but they start around 40.
Oh, my word.
I was thinking in terms of a car. Cars are somewhere between 20 and 40 these days, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Am I dreaming?
More, 40.
Depends on the car, Tommy. 20 grand wouldn't get you. It'll get you.
A brand new car?
Not.
You go in, unless it's like a little micro or something.
So, but then what most people do then is, which is I'd be thinking of doing, is you put down a deposit. Say if you got your 5 grand or something, and you say, okay, I'll put 5 cash towards it or whatever, and then I'll
pay off the thing,
which makes it, you know, that's not. I think it's very hard to justify spending 35 grand on something straight out. It just seems like. An awful waste of money given what's going on in the world. But 5 with payments seems justifiable. But what surprised me was that I thought my bike riding days were done, you know, because it is a stress-filled, adrenaline-filled adventure. Going in a nice, big, safe car that I have, you go into the car and you relax.
Mm.
You relax. It's kind of, take it easy now.
Here we go.
And we're just... And you're just, everything is easy. There's coffee, there's music, there's air conditioning. You can adjust the seats. When it's raining, you can be warm. When it's cold, you can be dry, or the other way around. But on a bike, you're in the fucking elements. you know, wind and rain, and you're cornering and you're watching every other car on the road to make sure that they fucking see you.
Yeah.
One mistake from them and you're in the bed and breakfast in the sky.
Yeah.
So, but it's adrenaline.
Yeah, but...
And I'm just... So I... When I gave up the motorbikes before, it was kind of like, I don't want any more adrenaline. I want to relax when I'm travelling between Belfast and Galway. I want to take it easy on a drive from Donegal down to Cork. But I just saw these bikes, man. And maybe all the photography was from America and riding across Arizona and...
Dry, open...
Yeah. And blondie young ones hopping on the back.
Yeah, well, you'll get any...
With American bandanas.
Yeah.
So...
But it's a... I thought those days were over, but you had a little bit.
Why? What now? What brought you back then?
I don't know. I just found myself typing in Harley Davidson.
Yeah, but it's
Davidson.
The same thing for fellas going on and going, oh, look at this. Go on pistons.co.uk. Piston heads. Pistons
are. What do they do?
That's just a second-hand car site from England. Oh. Quality car heads. Just quality machinery. But like it's the same thing with people who love cars, Tommy. They love the shape, the lines, the feel. They're always floating around looking at
stuff. But I'm not that type of person. I just want the comfort or the adrenaline.
You were lying in the bed on the laptop and you said, Google, bring me into Harley, Dave. And then you went into another world.
Yeah.
But you see, you had a wobble on the bike the last time about 3 years ago when you had a complete and utter, you hit a sort of a... You didn't even know if you were driving anymore.
No, that wasn't it.
You didn't know you had crashed.
No,
you didn't know what was going on.
No, what happened was back then.
You left Vicar Street. Yes, you did. And you drove home.
Oh my God, I love the way he snows.
It was the Ivy Gardens.
You left the Ivy Gardens and you drove home. I know it because you rang me the next morning.
I finished a gig in the Ivy Gardens.
Yes. Right?
Buzzed up. Got on the bike. It was the 29th of July. Hot summer's evening. Put on the leathers.
Give me the sound of that engine when you click.
Stop.
That's it.
Onto the North Circular Road.
Down by the
Before we got a Charlie,
smashing through the fucking barrier at the toll booth in Enfield. I go under the fucking thing.
Fuck you.
I had a Red Bull after the show on the motorbike. So I had three sources of adrenaline in me. And it was, I drove the motorway, more fool me, the most boring drive in the world. No corners, you're just, it's like being...
Cambers.
It's horrible. Anyway, I got the far side of Athlone and all of a sudden, it wasn't a psychological thing of I want to crash. I wasn't thinking, I'm going to drive into a fucking tree here for the crack. It wasn't that. So my mind wasn't gone. My mind wasn't kind of going, go on to fuck you mad bastard. When you see if you can, see, do a skid under the lorry. Go on, do a skid under the lorry. My mind was fine. It was like a twitch in my body.
Right.
A twitch where I wanted to just violently shake the handlebars. Just go like.
Stop.
So it was a physical twitch. And I was going, what the fuck is this? What the? Do you know when you're getting the horn?
No.
And there's a kind of a pulse that you can drive more blood to your groin, right?
Right.
And it's a kind of a natural.
You can send more blood there.
Yeah, or whatever. Or you flex your a muscle down there, and or something. You'd know it from feeling it, Larita. That it kind of.
Oh right, I get it.
It can pulse like a fish.
Just like a fish. Yes. Like if you had your hand around someone's neck and you could feel their jugular vein.
Yes, it has a kind of
It has its own heartbeat.
Poetry, Larita, poetry.
Okay.
So it was like that instinct to fill yourself with blood down below.
Right.
Except my arms wanted to go.
Stop. Like that. That's really dangerous.
That is really. And I got really nervous. So
and was there other vehicles
car starts
on the road
beating,
at this
fucking
time?
Pumping.
So I couldn't. Basically, I said, okay, I'll try and ride this one handed.
And it was dark.
No, it was bright. And then I said, okay, this isn't working. I have to get off the bike. So I pulled in to the Heart Shoulder and I got off the bike and I went, what the fuck is happening to me? Right? Now, in hindsight, I can say I was full of Red Bull. I was just after a gig. I was on the motorbike. My body was just too frazzled. I got on the bike again and I say within a mile it started happening and I said, fuck this. So I turned off the motorway and I started driving really, really windy country roads and that was fine. because there was too much work to do on the bike.
You didn't have, you didn't shut your eyes for any second on the bike, right? Like,
no.
Were wide awake.
But the country roads were fine because every
you can
you're moving
every 30 or 40 yards,
no,
there's a corner, but then I had to drive the motorway again from Oranmore to Galway, and I swear, you know that long stretch of road from up as far as the clinic, from the Maldron in Oranmore,
Goes on forever.
I was on the verge of tears approaching the clinic. That road is only a mile and a half long. But it was so difficult for me to keep my arms steady that I was nearly crying with the tension by the time I got to the clinic and the roundabout. Once on the Galway streets, I was fine because, you know, you're busy. And I came home and I got off the bike and I said, I am never fucking doing that again. And that was about 4 or 5 years
ago. Well, then you're not getting
well. But it is a strange thing.
Yeah, that's
mad.
But it's hard to explain
as
well.
And I know from driving, and I drive that road all the time, you hit a bit of a vortex, the far side of it, Lone, those big sweeping bends. It is a bit of fucking Bermuda Triangle around that area. Something happened to you, that big sweeping bend.
You got infiltrated.
It is a vortex of fucking nothingness. And that's strange.
It's tough, isn't it? Because it was, like I said, it's not my mind. My mind was trying to cope with what my body wanted to do. And it was very, very difficult. But this morning, there I was. Oh, look at the ultra glide.
And you couldn't help your hands again looking for things.
My fingers were out again.
But does that ever happen in a car? Does that ever happen when you're driving a car?
Never.
I don't know.
Because you can take one hand off the steering wheel.
But you're feeling the wind there and you're feeling everything and it's fucking... I've never ridden a motorbike. I'm afraid of them.
Why didn't you just turn the bike off and just do it on the side?
I did.
And that didn't help?
No. Pulled in and then did my hands. No.
You should have pulled into the old road in Kilreekle and
there was something inside of your head telling you to do it.
Yeah, it was like a... as a fella said, there are many people up in the forecourts on criminal charges and they must be thinking to themselves, what possessed me to do that?
Mm.
And it was a little bit, what possessed me to want to rattle the fucking... And I would have,
where did this... But, you know, there was never any motorbikes in your family.
Never.
Your father was never a biker.
No, he wasn't.
He was never part of the Rusty Nuts, was he?
The Rusty Nuts.
The biker club in Navan. He was never. There was never a family history, was there?
No.
So where did where did that come from? Because in my family, we're not biker men. The Kyogans aren't bike men. Where did the biker look?
I don't know.
Is there any bikers in your family?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, no. So where did the...
And I'm not a good biker. I know fellas who are...
Bikers.
I know fellas who would drive from Galway down to Liston-Varna because a road has been re-tarmacked and there's good grip in it.
Did you ever go down to Kilmeaden, to the heart of
the village of Cheddar?
Did you ever go down to that biker festival?
I went to the one in Killarney. Wow. There's
20,000 lads in the field in a tent.
Yeah. Had a model on the back of the bike. I drove around Killarney taking photographs.
Is that the Ring of Kerry? Is that the biker festival Ring of Kerry?
No, it's Killarney.
That's a bicycle.
Is that the normal bicycle?
Anyway, so this morning I was looking at bikes again going...
She'll guess it and you'll have no interest.
How about a trike? Would that be just be...
Stop doing the Galway Bay FM news and weather here. We'll go to Tommy Tiernan live on the trike. He's at Saltill. No, Tommy.
Billy Connolly got a trike.
Sitting back and then put a bandana on.
You'd be like my father going round to the one and put a motorised
wheelchair.
Yeah, and put a basket on the front of it.
No, Tommy, you can't.
What's wrong with the trike?
People go, look at that fool on the trike.
How will you go away?
If you saw Billy Connolly driving past in a trike, you wouldn't say, look at that fool. You go, look at Billy, you mad bastard. You won't crash that.
No, a trike doesn't suit anyone in Ireland. It suits people from abroad, doesn't it? And Germans. And
he's Scottish.
And Dayton, Ohio.
He's Scottish.
Yeah, but I know, but it doesn't suit a trike. Who is a trike? That's like somebody years ago, the Celtic Tiger, those people around Galway driving Hummers and they pull into Super Value car park in a Hummer.
Yeah.
And we go, who
they're like
the
stabilisers.
It's driving
like
a Hummer.
No,
you'll stand out, Tommy. You don't need to stand out.
With the two back wheels like your testicles and a long chassis.
And so put some false hair in under the helmet so it
and
goes back in the wind.
And a load of hair.
No, Tommy,
in the wind.
A trike.
Oh, cop on.
A trike. Dropping your daughter to school in the morning on the trike.
No. I think maybe Billy Connolly probably got that when he's in his late 60s.
Anyway, it's an idea.
You've another
few
years
just, there was a little Saturday morning on the laptop, little bit of... Nice.
Well, you could have been looking at worse things, I suppose.
Well, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this spectacular podcast.
Especially the first 10 minutes.
And to all my private listeners, what I was talking about earlier on will be continued.
Now we will just say
thank you for listening. God bless. Good luck.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.